I want to take a few minutes with you, and I want to stoke your imagination for a little bit. What stories do you think people will tell about Duncan Christian Reformed Church? When people think about our community, what stories are they going to share about us? Maybe it's because I'm a little bit insecure that I wonder, what's the story they're going to tell? Maybe it's because I'm hopeful for us that I think, what's the story we're going to tell? But I want you to imagine with me just for a minute, what's the story of our church and our community? Sermon on the Mount encourages us to display godliness for the glory of God and for the sake of the kingdom of heaven. Are we poor in spirit? Are we those who mourn? Are we meek? Do we genuinely hunger and thirst for righteousness, for godliness? Are we merciful? Are we pure in heart? Are we peacemakers? Are we persecuted because of our faith? Is that how we're known? Is that how we'll be remembered as a faith community? Or are we just going to be another one of the evangelical churches to build a bigger building and focus only on numbers? What's the story that they're going to tell about us? And I ask this because Jesus' first message in the Sermon on the Mount is about personal godliness. Jesus speaks about our personal godly character. This should be a concern for every one of us. We should be concerned about our godliness. But Jesus' second message in the Sermon on the Mount is bigger and broader than any one of us. It's about our witness as a worshiping community. Verse 16, Jesus is clear. The purpose of godliness, the purpose of shining our light as disciples and as a community, is so that others might glorify God. Westminster Catechism says, what is our purpose? It is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. So according to Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, this is our purpose as disciples and as a worshiping community. So is this our story? Is this the story they'll tell about us? Well, I hope so. And I hope that you also hope that that will be our story. As we go from verse 12 to verse 13 in our text, we have a shift in focus. Again, in the Beatitudes, Jesus' focus is personal godliness. He wants to encourage you as a disciple. He wants to spur you on to godliness. And then we get to verses 13 through 16. And we see you a number of times in this passage, right? You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Let your light shine. In each instance, you in these verses is plural. So he's speaking beyond any one of us. He's speaking to us as the church, speaking to us as a community. You. This is about our witness. What we encounter in this passage is one of the paradoxes that is apparent in the Sermon on the Mount and in Jesus' ministry in general. And that paradox goes something like this. On the one hand, disciples of Jesus Christ are no different than anyone else in the world. Yet, on the other hand, disciples of Jesus Christ are radically different than everyone else in the world. So on the one hand, disciples are no different than anyone else in the world. And we know this because of the nature of the gospel. The gospel proclaims one singular message. God saves sinful people by grace and through faith in Jesus Christ. Paul makes this very clear in Romans chapter 3. He writes, but now a righteousness from God apart from the law has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness comes from God through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. Here's the key. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. This is the message of the gospel. All people are sinful. All people are in need of grace. There is no difference between us and anybody else. But God, by grace, He saves undeserving sinners, and He invites people into relationship with Him. And He tells us how that works. Righteousness, or godliness, godly character, is produced in us through our faith, which is something that God also produces in us. So God gives us faith, which is able to help us see the truth of the gospel, and then God, through that faith that He gives us, also produces godliness in us for the purpose that we can help others to worship God. And it all comes through Jesus Christ. So in this way, disciples of Jesus Christ are no different than anyone else. We too need grace. On the other hand, disciples of Jesus Christ are radically different than everyone else. The Word of God consistently depicts God as a holy God. Holy means set apart. And so because God is holy and because God is set apart, disciples of Jesus Christ, followers of Him, are also set apart. In Isaiah chapter 6, starting in verse 1, we read this. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of His robe filled the temple. Above Him were seraphs, each with six wings. With two they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of His glory." So God is a holy, set-apart God. And when God gives someone the gift of faith, and they put that faith in Jesus Christ, and they receive and respond to God's invitation to relationship with Him, the result is godliness. God is a holy, set-apart God. And so God's people are holy, set-apart people. But that's not all the gospel tells us. Disciples of Jesus Christ are not simply disciples because they believe the truth of the gospel. Disciples of Jesus are disciples because they have been united to Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit. And what that means is that as disciples, we died with Christ when He went to the cross. As disciples, we were buried with Jesus when He was buried in the tomb. And when Jesus was raised to new life, we as disciples were raised with Him. And so the life that we live already now is a new life because of Jesus, which makes us radically different than anyone else in the world today. Does it mean that we're any better than anyone else? Does it mean that we walk out of church pretending as if we're more righteous and pious and holy and everyone else is just, they need to get on our level? It's not the case. We are thirsty people who have found a well with a never-ending supply of water. And we're those who are inviting people to come to that well so they can drink of it too. We're no different. And yet we're radically different. Jesus wants His disciples to understand that paradox, which is why He writes verse 13 and 14 the way He does. He starts with two statements of fact. Verse 13, He says, "You are the salt of the earth." And then verse 14, He says, "You are the light of the world." He doesn't say to His disciples, "You should be salt." He doesn't say to them, "You should be light." He says, "You are salt. You are light." Which tells us that our identity precedes our behavior. Jesus is going to get to how to live as a disciple. He's going to give us instructions for how to to live as his disciples. But here he starts with telling us who we are and what we are. We are salt and we are light. And by making these two positive statements about his disciples, he indirectly makes two negative statements about the nature of the world. You are salt because the world is decaying. You are light because the world is a dark place. The world needs you to be salt and light. In order to understand what this means, we have to understand these two images and metaphors. Salt is both a scriptural and a cultural image that Jesus is using. Scripturally, it's an image that we find all throughout the Bible. The first reference is in Genesis chapter 14. The last reference is in James chapter 3. It's both in the Old and New Testament. But we're primarily interested in the New Testament. How is salt used? Salt is used in each of the Gospels, and it's only used in reference to this teaching of Jesus. Right? And what that tells us, and what Jesus is trying to convey here, is salt is an image for preserving and for enriching things. That leads us to the cultural use of salt. Back in this day, when Jesus is teaching, salt was used for the primary purpose of preserving meat. Right? So if you were trying to preserve your food, you wrapped it in salt. Culturally speaking, this image is kind of lost on us because we have refrigerators and we have freezers. We don't need to wrap our food in salt anymore. But salt is also used to enrich things. If you're Dutch, you put salt on everything. Right? Mashed potatoes, in your soup, on everything. It wasn't until married life that I realized that there are more seasonings than just salt. But I think the essence of what Jesus is trying to convey here is, as salt, we are disciples who enrich and preserve the world around us. And then we get to the image of light. And this is, in this text at least, the most important image. Most important because if you look at Jesus' concluding statement in verse 16, he says, let your light shine. Right, so he mentions salt and light, and then he concludes by saying, let your light shine. So light is the primary image in this text. Scripturally, there are many examples of where we find light. But for the sake of time, I'll give you one example. The Gospel of John. Light is a very important image in the Gospel of John. So in chapter 1, verse 4, we read this. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. Which tells us a few things. Life is only available in Jesus. Secondly, we're told that life is the light of men. And we're told that that light is meant to shine in the darkness. Then chapter 8, verse 12, we read this. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. This is one of the seven I am statements that Jesus makes. And he says, I am the light. So when we put these two together, what John is telling us about light is this. Jesus is the light shining in a dark world, needs the love and grace of God. But Jesus also gives us, disciples, a light to shine as well. And so we are his representatives. As the church, we shine the light that we have, and the light that we have is life that we've received in Jesus. Theologically, John uses the metaphor of light to direct us back to our discipleship. Disciples are those who have been saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And this means that disciples are different from the people around them because God has intervened and through the power of the Holy Spirit, he is given the gift of faith. He unites disciples to Jesus in order that they can receive life in him. Only God does this because only God can do this. But this encouragement comes with a warning. Notice what Jesus says in this text. He draws two logical conclusions. He says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again?" He says, "It's not good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men." In the same way, he says, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. No, they put it on a stand so it gives light to everyone in the house." There's not too much unpacking that we need to do here. It's quite simple. You are salt, but if you lose your saltiness, you lose your purpose. Don't lose your saltiness. You are light, but if you hide the light that you've been given, you don't serve any purpose in the kingdom of heaven. A light is meant to shine, and if you don't shine that light, what good is your light? Kind of brings us back full circle. The purpose of Jesus' ministry was to be an invitation into the kingdom of heaven. Called disciples, he taught them about the kingdom of heaven. He invited them to experience life in the kingdom. And the purpose of our ministry as disciples of Jesus Christ is to be his representatives and to help others in the world around us know and enjoy and love him. This is why you are salt. This is why you are light. So don't lose your saltiness. Don't hide your light. You are salt and light to our worshiping community. You are. We've heard two faith stories in this series so far. Both Dick and Michelle. You are salt and light in our community. You make our community a better place. Every one of you, you are salt and light in our community, which means that you make our community a better place. If you were not here, we wouldn't be the same community as we are. We need you. We love you. We value you. We want you not only to be here, but to help us be a part of what God is doing in our community. We would not be the same without you. The communities that you're a part of beyond our community here, your vocation, the places you go play sports, you are salt and light there. That friendship group, that community you're a part of, the staff you're a part of, would not be the same without you, because you are salt and you are light there. Don't lose your saltiness. Don't lose that light. Don't hide it. Let it shine. Because through you, God wants to invite people to come and know him and enjoy him and worship him. He chose you for that purpose. You are important to God. You are important to us. You are important to the kingdom of heaven. So don't lose it. This is why I keep saying as a church, we need to be people who are deeply rooted in the Word of God. The image that we have in Psalm 1 is of a tree planted by streams of water. And the tree draws nourishment from that water. As the same, we're disciples who are called to be deeply planted in the Word of God. And it is the Word of God that will feed and nourish us and help us to be salt and light. So it's important for us to be people rooted in the Word of God. It's important for us to be a community that loves and values and cherishes each other. Why it's so important to hear our stories and to share our stories. Because your story is an encouragement to us. I recognize that not everyone is going to want to come up here and share their story like this. For some people, that's just not what you're comfortable with. That's okay. It's okay if you don't want to come up and do this. But I want to encourage you to share your story with others. Have a coffee. Talk about your faith story with people. Share your story in ways that you are comfortable with. Because you are a blessing to us. We need you. We love you. We value you. And we want to hear what God is doing in your life. And we must be a community that is serious about being sent. God sends us from this place and into different places where we are meant to be salt and light in the world around us. We're not just disciples who come and worship and then go and leave without being salty and with hiding our light. God sends you to places so that you can build the kingdom of heaven with him, to participate with him. If all we do is invite people to come here, then they're actually the missionaries. You know what I mean? If our doors are open and all we say, hey, why don't you come to us? They're the ones who are missionaries coming into our space to come and learn from us. But if we open our doors and we go out, then we're the missionaries going into their space, going to meet people where they are. That's what God calls us to do, to go. The Great Commission, the greatest sending statement in all the Gospels, starts with Jesus saying, go, therefore, go and make disciples. Right? He doesn't say, therefore, stay and let people come to you. No, he says, go. Go with my presence, because I am Emmanuel, I am God with you. Go with my presence and go with my power in you, the Holy Spirit. He hasn't left you unequipped. Go to share the gospel, to invite people into the life of the kingdom. This is a place where we are connected, where we worship together, we fellowship together, where we connect meaningfully, where we grow in godliness together. But out there is our mission field. And you are all missionaries. That doesn't mean that we go out with bullhorns and we preach at people. The church has tried that and it hasn't worked. But God has called you to go and genuinely love people. Enter into relationship with people, to listen to them, to love them for who they are because they are image bearers of God. Love the people who come to community dinner. Love on them for who they are. Form a relationship with them. And then go and be with them in their space. Love the people who walk through the doors into the mission thrift store. Be salt and light there. Love those people. And then go and be in their space with them where they are. Love the people downtown gathered around coffee shops. People who are searching for generosity. Be salt and light to them. Love the students who come and learn at DCS or any other school that you're a part of. Be salt and light there. But just go and be salt and light so that others may come to know and love and enjoy and worship God. This is why we are salt and light. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you love each and every one of us more than we can even fathom. And we thank you and praise you for your love because in love you have pursued us for a relationship with you. In love you have given us the gift of faith that allows us to see how beautiful your gospel message is. In love you through the Spirit give us godliness so that we can go and shine the light of your love and grace so that others can come and see how beautiful you are, how loving you are, and can experience life in the kingdom. Father, I pray, Lord, that the Spirit would be active within us, that we would go and we would be salt and light in the places you send us so that we can see your kingdom built. So we can see our city and our valley be a place where you are not only known, but you are worshipped. And where your shalom is experienced by all people. We pray this for the building of your kingdom and for your glory. In the name of Jesus, amen. Please rise as we continue our worship together.
For all who mourn, you are the source of heaven's hope on earth. Jesus, light in the darkness, Jesus, truth in each circumstance, you are the source of heaven's light on earth. In history, you lived and died, you broke chains, you rose to life. You are the hope living in us. You are the rock in whom we trust. You are the light shining for all the world to see. You rose from the dead, conquering fear. Our Prince of Peace, drawing us near. Jesus, our hope, living for all who will receive. Lord, we believe. Jesus, hope of the nations. Jesus, comfort for all who mourn. You are the source of heaven's hope on earth. Jesus, light in the darkness, Jesus, truth in each circumstance, you are the source of heaven's light on earth. In history, you lived and died, you broke the chains, you rose to life, you are the hope living in us, you are the rock in whom we trust. You are the light shining for all the world to see. You rose from the dead, conquering fear. Our Prince of Peace, drawing us near. Jesus, our hope, living for all who will receive. Lord, we